Golf Smarter number 650 is brought to you by Peter Millar Golf. Stay tuned to hear how you can get complimentary shipping and a free golf cap at petermillar.com/golfsmarter. That's Millar, M-I-L-L-A-R, petermillar.com/golfsmarter. A strong versus a weak grip. What's the difference, and which is best for you? With Silverado's Tom Sims.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Tom.
Hello, Fred. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
You are at what we call a high-profile golf course. You're at Silverado. How long have you been there in the Napa area?
I've been at Silverado now as a head professional for 4 years.
Excellent. And how's life at Silverado?
Life is good. We're very busy and great place to be. And yeah, it's great. Really good.
Yeah. So who designed this course? And this is a mature course, right?
Yeah, it's a Parkland golf course. Robert Trent Jones, Jr.
Yeah.
It was one of his first efforts. And then it had a redesign on the North Golf Course about 6-7 years ago by Johnny Miller, just redoing bunkers, a couple of tees, changing greens around a little bit on the North Golf Course where we have the Safeway open now. And then the South Golf Course was updated last year, three phases. Last year was phase one. They took out some bunkers, added some bunkers, and that's where we're at now.
You're saying it's a Robert Trent Jones course, but it was one of his first. Are you familiar with his other courses, and how does this compare to his more mature offerings?
Well, this is a Trent Jr.
Right.
And yeah, I am. It's one of those golf courses where they didn't move around a lot of dirt, so it pretty much feels very natural. It's like we call it, it's a little parkland type of golf course, so mm-hmm. sort of old school, big trees. From the back tees, it's all you want. A lot of good par threes. So yeah, it's compared to most of his golf courses, it's a little different in that really the bunkering, it's not as many bunkers as a lot of his golf courses have, but very similar.
I have played it multiple times. I live in Northern California, so I've had the opportunity to play Silverado. I love the golf course. I think it's a great course. It's a challenge, but it's fair, which I appreciate. And it's a resort golf course, so they're a little more forgiving, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We keep the rough pretty low most of the year, about an inch and a half. And then starting about now, the North Golf Course will start growing out the rough a little bit. South will still stay at about an inch and a half with the rough. And so it's very playable.
Mm-hmm. You were mentioning that the Safeway opened. So the PGA Tour does come through there on a regular basis.
Yeah. Really, if you look at the history of Silverado, the South Golf Course used to have the Kaiser Open, had that for many years as a PGA Tour event. And the Champions Tour, used to be called the Senior Tour, that was on the South Course as well. And then starting with the Fry's Golf Tournament, which changed sponsors to Safeway, they've been out here for about 5 years now, and I think we have them for about another 5 years.
Great.
It's the first tournament of the wraparound season, so we're really sort of it's a fun event because we get a lot of the web.com guys. It's their first event, and a lot of the grizzled veterans, and so it makes for a real fun field.
Awesome. I'll never forget, actually. One time I was coming to play there, and I go to check in, but as I was getting out of the car, Christopher Warren, I think it was. He was Secretary of the Treasury at the time. I was like, and I recognized him immediately, and I went up to him and I asked him for his autograph on a dollar bill. And he signed it. And I'm like, wait, isn't that a federal offense to write on money? Aren't you?
Yeah. Send him up. Huh?
Exactly. I thought that was kind of strange. So the Safeway Open, I hope you don't mind me asking. The Safeway Open last year was in the middle, or it was right at the beginning of all the fires that started in Northern California, right?
We got the turbine in that Sunday afternoon. The wind started blowing really, really hard, and about 9:30 that evening, I believe it was October 9th, the resort was evacuated. We lost 157 homes in our area.
Oh my gosh!
So it affected about 200 members, and pretty tough. We were closed for about a month. Golf course had a damage to a lot of the old redwood trees, some oak trees. We lost one of the grandstands on the 17th hole. The fire did get up to the mansion, so we have sort of our famous old mansion where we check in for the hotel. But we had people putting it out, which is great. It was a tough time.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. And I mean, it sounds like compared to what other people went through, that's minimal damage.
Yeah, golf course wise, you look at a course like Fountain Grove. Fountain Grove pretty much lost their clubhouse, and they lost pretty much every home in that little valley there is gone.
Yeah. As we're recording this in early August, there's smoke in the air again, coming from Mendocino and Redding. And God, I just hate the fact that we get used to smelling smoke in the air during the summer.
Yeah, it's very smoky here today.
I'm sorry. Anyway, let's talk about golf. That's too depressing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
You have a golf academy at Silverado or individual lessons? How's it work there?
We have a lot of stuff going on. Our director of instruction is Tara Fox, and Tara runs a real strong junior program. She touched about 200 juniors this year, which is awesome, in about a 6-week period. That sort of morphs into a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We have after school golf for juniors that goes on really all year till we start up on our junior camps start next year in June. So real strong with the junior programs. We do have Johnny Miller Academy, which is more for an adult program. In fact, we have four students starting Friday. They're three-day classes. Big emphasis that Tara likes to do is the mental side of the game. So we're sort of looking for people that are players a little bit, but mental side of the game, and then a lot of on course. We do hit balls, but it's not the hit 1500 balls a day type of academy. It's a lot more playing and on course stuff. So we've had really good responses from the students so far. We've only been doing it for about a year and a half now, but we're seeing a big jump in participation this year. So we're real excited about it.
I bet. I'm looking forward to talking to Tara. If anyone wants to talk about the mental side of the game, I'm all over that one. The name of the show is Golf Smarter. So we do focus a lot on
there you go.
Yeah, we do focus on the mental side a lot. What is Johnny Miller's involvement other than his name in the academy and the property?
He did an instructional book years and years ago, his 10 top tips, and that's really what the instructors work off of. Really, really a rotational swing and trying to find the bottom of the swing and just more fundamental setups and that type of thing. So real broad base, but it's a pretty good basic fundamental to work off of.
Uh-huh. And like, what are some of those tips that we should all be employing in our own game?
Well, his big one is he calls it brush, but you should always take practice swings and making sure that you're finding the bottom of the swing. Where where people don't a lot of times, and you'll see people hit 15 shots in a row and hit it thin and fat and not back off and really try to find the center of the or the bottom of the swing. So that's sort of his real big thought process is really is brush, making sure that you're finding it, getting your hands on the club the proper way. But is really just finding the bottom of the swing, you know, pretty simple stuff.
And do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I do. You do have to find the bottom of the swing.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, the Bobby Clampett where he's trying to get people to take a divot, you know, 2 or 3 inches in front of that ball. But, even with that, you're trying to find the bottom, you know, make sure that ball is at the bottom of the swing, not anywhere else. Unless maybe I'm hitting the driver.
Right. I found for myself that I struggle with the idea that I'm supposed to hit the ball, then the earth, right? I'm supposed to hit the ball first and then get the divot. But I find that I do, and probably a lot of amateurs are like this as well, but we just want to sweep through the ball, get through the ball. And so I think that's where, you know, I'll find that I'm going to top it or hit it thin a lot. But I struggle with finding the spot where, you know, like where the, not just, you know, where the bottom of the swing is that's comfortably going through, but getting that divot, hitting the ball and then the ground. Are those two different things? Should I be trying to focus on one or the other? Does that make any sense?
I don't think so. I think it does. Sometimes we're going to have some issues with people trying to take divots. I'm a big one when I listen to good players and I watch good players. The biggest thing that I see that the greatest players do is they maintain spine angle, they maintain posture, and they rotate. And where a lot of people are trying to take divots and that becomes their main swing thought, it starts to become more of an up and down swing, a little more vertical back instead of rotating back and through. So yes, we do want to hit the ball and then hit the ground, but we have to be careful on how we go about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like people getting the club, taking the club back and getting it parallel, but not turning to get it parallel can also be an issue. So,
explain what you mean by turning to get it parallel.
Well, we have to make sure that we're turning our torso to get the club back to parallel, as opposed to just picking our own arms up and trying to vertically place the club in a parallel position. That can sort of create shanks, and also it's what people would call. I think when you're teaching students, they'll tell you, "Hey, I feel like I'm just swinging with my arms only." So what we're trying to get to be done is a connected swing where, you know, the arms and the torso we're making a rotational motion through it, as opposed to such an up and down move.
Uh huh. Okay, I think I'm with you.
I got you confused.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really my problem of go ahead.
I'm lucky enough where I worked at Hiddenbrook I opened Hiddenbrook in 1995 in Vallejo.
Okay.
And was lucky enough to work there with the LPGA. And as you watch tour players and great players, they all do a lot of things that are different, but they also do a lot of things that are the same. And what you notice with most of them is there's not a whole lot of lateral action in a golf swing. It's more of a rotational motion. So if you watch, you know, like Justin Thomas last week, he's a little more up and down, but it's still a rotational motion. And when he finishes, you'll notice that his spine doesn't move forward laterally. It doesn't move forward. So that's a big thing as I teach, I try to make sure people maintain their posture, and then we're making a rotational swing. Watching Annika Sorenstrom hit balls one day was really sort of a cool thing when we talk about divots she was one where, if you remember, it almost looked like she wasn't looking at the ball when she hit it, so her head came up fast.
Yeah.
David Duvall was another one that sort of did that.
Yeah.
But as you watched her practice, she practiced different than any of the other ladies out there. So she would hit a ball, take a divot, and she'd put the ball in front of the divot and then hit the ball from that area, another divot in front of that, and there was a little spot about the, you know, the width of your thumb, that where the ball was sitting, and she never hit that spot. So she would, when you could come up to the range the next morning, you could tell where she was, because she basically killed the grass where her stance was, and then there was only two divots. Everyone else had lines of divots, so she would just hit it from the same spot every single time. It would just it just blew my mind. And I was lucky enough to ask her. I said, "Well, you know, you have people, you know, say you lift your head or you move your head through." And I said, "What happened there?" And she said, "She used to duck hook the ball a lot, and when she was a junior, so that was sort of her miss. So if she stayed back too long and her chest didn't rotate through, she didn't turn through, she would get the club. All that energy was closing the club face." So she said she had an instructor that said, "You know, I want you to get your head through and turn through fast with your chest." And all of a sudden the ball started straightening out. So she got to the point where, you know, as I said, when you remember her, she didn't have a whole lot of, you know, the old head down motive. She was through that shot and turned the head through real fast. So that rotational thing became an easier way for her to hit it straight. I'm really going off, aren't I?
I love it. You're more than welcome to. It's okay. But we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. As you've been hearing over the last couple months, I've been upping my style game and giving my closet a makeover thanks to Peter Millar. And it's been so easy since they're all about quality, value, and style. And speaking of easy, Peter Millar is easily the most comfortable clothing I've ever worn. Peter Millar polos are what I refer to as golf shirts. They offer so much comfort and incredible performance. These shirts are perfect for the golf course because they even have sun protection built in, which is really good to know since I'm headed to the eastern coast of Baja, Mexico next week, where the temps are going to be in the low 100s all the time. And Peter Millar's sport shirts look like a button-down dress shirt but feel as comfortable as a t-shirt. Yippee, they don't have to be dry cleaned. They're machine wash and dry, and they won't shrink and don't have to be ironed. Can I get a second yippee on no ironing? Peter Millar Performance Shorts are moisture wicking, breathable, and quick drying. They have a stretch waistband, so they move with you during your golf swing. And when the shorts move with you, they don't mess the shirt up, which makes them perfect for playing a round of golf, taking care of chores around the house, or anything you're doing this weekend. I really never have to worry about what to wear on any occasion anymore. Peter Millar has become my go-to clothing for vacation, work events, the golf course, and especially for impressing my wife, the harshest critic. There's two options to check him out on social media, at Peter Millar or at Peter Millar Golf. And right now, you can head over to petermillar.com/golfsmarter to check out some of my Peter Millar favorites. Be sure to use my link and you'll receive complimentary shipping and a free hat. That's Peter Millar, MILLAR.com/golfsmarter. petermillar.com/golfsmarter. Now I'm really curious, the instructor that, you know, that Annika told you about, and how to improve that for her. What was your reaction as an instructor? It's like, have you ever thought of telling somebody that, or was that something you'd never heard? How did you respond to that?
No, I loved it. Because I always hear, you know, what are the things that, you know, that the husband tells the wife or the dad tells the son, it's, you know, keep your head down, keep your head down, keep your head down. Right. That's really the main thing we'll hear. And it gets to the point where I have several students where that becomes, you know, that becomes an issue. They lose again the turning motion. All of a sudden they're stopping and the club face is still going. So, I thought it was great. And if you listen to Duvall and a lot of things that he would talk about is he tried to turn his head through the ball to pick up speed. So he tried to get his head going as fast as his arms were going, which is, you know, actually a pretty good idea. He's not keeping his head down and have any decel at all. Everything he was doing was accelerating through the ball. and he would let his head rotate through the ball real fast too. So, and anyone that has a real strong grip like a Duvall or even a Dustin Johnson, you'll notice a real big shoulder or torso turn through, and that basically keeps the club face pretty square to their hands. If they don't do that, that club face and the way they grip it and go after it, it's going to go hard left.
Is this something that you see in tour players, or do you recognize this kind of thing going on as well with amateurs?
In what regard?
In the head lift and the arms moving quick and the head turning, you know, what?
Yeah. Well, I think better players you see, you know, what do people say? It's like, how does a guy swing that easy at it and it goes so far? It's that transition and the you know, the connection of the body. It's like watching a Bumgarner throw a baseball. You know, it looks like he's not doing anything, but he's connected and he's smooth with his transition. So they're creating a lot of velocity. And most people, to me, is they sort of get into that mode of trying to control the ball a little bit, and they start stopping the wrong things. In other words, they stop their rotation a little bit, they stop their chest, and then try to fix everything with their hands. And we really don't want to do that. We're just trying to keep that club face pretty square to the hands and turn.
Absolutely. Right. You know, I got to believe that in a resort like Silverado, where you've got people coming in from all over the world, and it's a pretty high price, high level resort. Do you get a lot of people coming to you saying, "Hey, we've got a charity event or we've got a corporate event tomorrow, and I haven't picked up a club in 6 months, and here's what I struggled with in 6 months ago. Help me fix it today."
Oh yeah, absolutely. And really, when you do that, is really, if you just go back to basic fundamentals, making sure that they're setting up correctly, making sure they're holding on to the club as close as possible to get it to square at impact. I think was Harvey Penick's famous line was, "You never change someone's grip unless they've paid you for a series before that." Because they'll never come back again if it's just a one-time lesson. So changing the grip is really difficult to do. And everything I've done, I've been teaching for 30 years, I will try to change grips on people that take series sometimes. And then, but also I'll try to work with people that have unusually strong grips or weak grips, because it's very difficult for people to change. And then most of your students are going to, you know, it's not like they're going to go out and practice the next 5 days. You normally see them on a Wednesday and see them in another week on a Wednesday, and they probably don't do a whole lot in between. So things like grip are hard to change, but setup is real easy to change. And really, I just try to get them in a position athletically that they can swing a golf club.
You know, this podcast really is, obviously we're not talking about the tour and what happened last week, and we're not talking about the best players in the world. We're actually talking to some of the worst players in the world, and we're proud of it. So I need to sometimes get clarification, because I hear instructors speak a lot, but I need to know, can you please define the difference between a weak grip and a strong grip?
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you.
The thing I'll normally hear from people, and it's funny, in the PGA, so I'm a Class A professional in the PGA, and the PGA now calls one grip the closed face grip, and the other grip is an open face grip. So the closed face grip is what we would call a strong grip. The open face grip is what we call a weak grip. So if you were to take your hands and sort of rotate them into the center of your body where your thumbs are touching, okay, that's naturally how our hands rotate to the middle of our body. If the left hand is stronger to the, let's put it this way, I'll go the V's. Okay. If my left thumb and index finger, they create a V. If that V is pointing to my right shoulder or past my right shoulder, I'm in the process of getting myself into a strong grip, because that club will release closed. Okay.
Okay.
The right hand is going to be working under. So same thing, the V's of the right hand, they're going to be pointing at my right shoulder, going right down my right arm. Okay. Again, that club is going to release close. And mainly just because of our anatomy. That's sort of where we're trying to get back to a neutral place. A weak grip is going to be the opposite way. And you'll see, who's the most famous guy on tour with a weak grip would be Jordan Spieth, right? Spieth has a very weak grip. His left thumb is right down the middle of the shaft, and his right thumb is right down the middle of the shaft. And so, therefore, his V of his left thumb and his index finger is pointing about almost at his left eye, at his chin at worst, okay? But again, that hand will tend to turn the other way at impact. So it'll tend to open the club face at impact. The funny part about that statement, when we talk about strong and weak grips, is Spieth tends to hit the ball a little bit right to left, and he has a weak grip. And Dustin Johnson hits the ball left to right, and he has a strong grip. So anyway, we have one grip is, so one grip is creating an open club face. That guy draws the ball. The other grip creates a closed club face, and he hooks and he fades the ball.
And that's counterintuitive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I'll see. It's funny. I'll see more strong grips with kids, baseball player types. I'll see a lot of strong grips like that. I see weak grips with ladies. And don't know why, but I think they sort of get that club where they're trying to lift it a little bit when sort of getting their arm underneath the shaft. So ladies probably maybe need to get them in a stronger grip so they can get that club face a little more square at impact. And juniors actually try to get them in a neutral grip that we can start off early with them.
And so if the club face, which the goal is to get it to be square to the target at impact, but these grips create it so it's either open or closed, weak or strong.
Mm-hmm.
Does that also contribute or dictate the swing path, like inside out, outside in? Because that also determines ball, right? Doesn't that have a lot to do with ball flight on whether your club face is open or closed on how your swing is going? I hope I'm getting this right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So path. Path is going to be the path of the swing. Your swing plane is going to be, let's put it this way. If we see the ball taking off and going right to left hard, the path was inside, or we call inside to out with a closed club face, and possibly two inside. So a lot of times with a strong grip, okay, we'll see people taking the club a little bit too inside, and the club face again doesn't rotate. So now all of a sudden they're taking the club inside. So let's put this way. I'm sorry. A neutral grip, if I take the club back and turn the club back, we're trying to keep the club square to your hands, but it's always going to do what to the ball? It's going to stay, it's going to get open to the ball. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
On a good grip. Okay. So you'll see some people with, like, again, a Dustin Johnson where the club face is really closed at the top of the swing. I'll see a lot of times people with closed club face at the top of the swing, the club will open on the downswing. I see people with open club faces or laid off club faces on the top of the swing that will do what? They'll close it. Okay. So they do work differently. The path is absolutely huge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm saying if you keep a rotational move going, or your thought process is, hey, I'm just going to try to turn and keep my hands square to the club face, then you'll be able to handle pretty much any grip. Like I said, I've seen a lot of unique ones. I've seen them where I just sort of look at people, I do not understand how they could hold on to that golf club and really expect anything good to come out of it. And I'd be blown away on people that, I know I do. I mean, I'll look at it like, I just don't know how this is going to work. And you'll see him make a pretty good swing, and somehow they'll figure out a way to get that club back to square. And it's pretty surprising to me at times. So, but again, what we're trying to do as instructors is let's try to make it as easy as possible to be consistent with a golf shot or golf swing. So
I think what I struggle with most is turning my hands over and getting that rotation that will give me the proper spin. I'm a right-hander, to get a draw on the ball. I mean, I'm making decent contact these days, but I think I still struggle with, like, turning over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I'll sort of debunk you there. The turn, okay, so the rotation of your body and keeping the club, as you just told me about, is keeping the club on path, is what's going to determine shape of the shot. So we want to get away from too much, you know, hand rotation and release. Your release is going to happen by turning the golf club. So like I said, when you take the club back and I turn back and the club face opens, as I turn back, it's going to be back to square. As I finish, it's going to be closed, all in relationship to the ball, which is your path, right? It's your line, your target line. Mm-hmm. So I teach a lot as I try to take hands out of it a little bit. All I feel is the wrist cock or the hinge, all that's going to do for a golf swing is that gets the club up and down, and my turn makes the club go open and close. So if my path is good, I can make the ball go right to left. My path is good, I can make the ball go left to right. I am not one that is real concerned about people hitting it straight. I think that puts way too much pressure on their mind, for one, and also the golf swing. It sort of becomes unnatural. We start trying to force some moves in there. So I'm a big one. If you're struggling with hitting the ball right to left, don't try to time your hands. To me, if you're timing your hands, you're probably not making a proper turn back. I always will try to get people on a tee, get the ball in the middle of the stance, and then all we talk about is shape. I'm just trying to get that ball to work right to left. And the first time they do it, they'll sort of look at you like, wow, that works, okay? And then all we try to do with the process is now we try to speed it up a little bit where we can get distance as well. And I'll take the ball off the tee because we were talking earlier about angle of attack, you know, taking that divot. A lot of times that motion is what gets us over the top or too steep. So it's sort of hard to get the club from the inside to out. We tend to get almost on the outside in trying to get that club down steep. So I do a lot of teaching with the ball on the tee. First of all, it's a little easier for the player to hit it. They sort of get that down move going, and it makes me look way better.
Always want to make the teacher look good. Always want to make the teacher look good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, how else do you get recommendations? Yeah, right. The other thing I've noticed that when, my ball tends to fade a little bit, but if it fades too much and becomes beyond a fade, I tend to notice that what happens is instead of starting my takeaway with my right hand on bringing the club back, I push it and roll my left hand over. So it's really... Mm-hmm. Really hard for me, even in my putting, I've noticed that it's more of a push with my left hand on my takeaway than just bringing it straight back.
Mm-hmm.
Help.
Yeah. I mean, good practice. Well, good practice is hold the club, get the club as if you're swinging a baseball bat. Get the club, you're going to get your same posture, but get the club 2 or 3 feet off the ground and then try to maintain that rotational swing.
Mm.
And that's all we're trying to do. So you're not going to get a separation from the arms to bias. That's one of my big things is I struggle where people struggle is, like you said, they'll sort of push the club back. The old low and slow takeaway to me doesn't work because the arms get away from the body. So now all of a sudden I got to get them back in the body to create leverage. So again, as you push the club back, you lose rotation. So if you start more with your chest and your arms, okay, and not your hands, okay,
yeah.
And remember the timing of it is it's almost going to feel – so when you watch on television a lot of times, you watch a tour guy, it always looks like the club is going sort of outside when they take it back,
mm-hmm.
the club head. But if you watch, it's they initiate turn by left shoulder. So the left shoulder starts it back and that club will go out. Doesn't mean – we're taking the club out. We're still turning our chest to an inside position, which the arms will catch up to, okay? But you have to be careful of getting the arms sort of doing their own thing, okay? So I'll hear people say, well, I make a big old shoulder turn, and all I see is a shoulder pivot. They'll just take their shoulder and pivot the club up and down at the shoulder. There's no chest turn. So I always say I want to make sure we're turning our buttons back, okay? We're turning the zipper on our jacket back, not my shoulder, okay? Because that sort of gets us sometimes in that little reverse position at the top of the swing.
That is so helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Give me a little taste of what life is like for people who come to stay at Silverado. Tell me a little about the property as far as beyond golf. Service and amenities.
There's about 450 rooms, 9 pools.
Wow.
Tennis courts, we have 16 tennis courts, bocce ball. There's a spa across the street. One restaurant to grill. We're famous for our burger dog, which is ourselves an Olympic club, but it's a great hamburger on the snack bars on the south end of North Golf Course. Also, the burger dogs are going to be going into the new Warriors Stadium in San Francisco, so they're all pretty excited about that option.
We're right in the middle
of wine country. City of Napa and Yountville and St. Helena, all great restaurants now. Napa, last 10 years, has just boomed in regards to, you know, fine dining and a lot of wine tasting actually downtown now. The whole river area is really nice. Just a beautiful area. Sunshine
yep.
most of the time.
Yep.
When we don't have smoke. we have a lot of members that are San Francisco residents who come up here for the weekends just to get back in the sunshine and
wow.
get away from the fog. And it's a beautiful place. Real great place to come to work every day.
I hate to say, but over the last couple of years, you guys have probably had more fires than rain.
Yeah. We've had, unfortunately, with the Safeway open, we had... 2 years ago, we had rain. It rained every day during the event. And then last year, I usually work a locker room. And I remember Brendan Steele left at 9 o'clock. You know, he won. He left at 9 o'clock. We went out to our cars at 9:30, and I got a phone call at 11:30 that they are evacuating actually everything. They started evacuation at 9:30, but everything was closed out at 11:30 that night.
Oh, my gosh.
So. Yeah.
How do we get in touch with you, or if we want to make reservations to play golf at Silverado, what do we do?
Well, probably your best bet is you just go to the phone number, which is 707-257-5160, and then you could go to... Our website, which is www.silveradoresort.com.
Silveradoresort.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Hey, Tom, thanks so much for your time. I found you've been incredibly helpful for me. I hope that there's somebody listening going, yeah, that was my problem too. I hope so.
hopefully I didn't confuse people.
Well, I think that's also the job of golf instructors. How else are you going to
You got to bring them down and, you know, take them back. You know, it's like the Marine Corps.
Yeah. Well, how else are you going to get them to come back? Because if you don't confuse them, if you just give them the answer on the first try, they're gone. But I guess on resort instruction, it's a lot of one lesson and never see the person again.
Yeah. The majority of I teach more of the members.
Okay.
I do some resort instruction, but most of my instruction is members. And then I help tear out with a lot of her junior PGA camps and that kind of thing.
Well, I look forward to speaking to Tara at some point soon. Love to talk mental game and the Johnny Miller Academy and the junior programs as well. Thanks again for giving us your time, man.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris.
Hey, have you entered our weekly drawing yet? Go to golfsmarter.com/giveaway. Or follow the links I've posted on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Golf Smarter. Now, our next prize is a brand new set of shoe tips. We heard about shoe tips on episode 644 from Dr. Joseph Parent, author of Zen Golf, as his book was the inspiration for this product. And let me say from experience that they're really helpful. If you've listened to Golf Smarter for a while, you know that having more than two swing thoughts per shot is hurting you. Shoe tips are thought reminders that either hook up to your shoelaces or attach to your golf bag. Actually, if you can't wait to get this as a gift for a friend, then make sure you use Golf Smarter as a checkout code for 25% off your purchase at shoetips.com. And remember, if you miss our weekly deadline to enter for a prize, you're still registered every week and you can win more than once. Deadline to enter is Sunday at midnight Pacific time or Monday morning 3 a.m. Eastern. This week's prize is an online lesson and video review of your swing courtesy of Roger Gunn, who was last featured on the podcast on episode 646. After our random drawing, I'd like to say congratulations to Sharon Pfizer of Franklin, Tennessee. Sharon, I'll be writing to you and copying Roger so that you can start to communicate directly with him and send him video of your swing. Now, as a Golf Smarter listener, I hope that you agree that getting these amazing teachers that we have on the show is an incredible prize and an unbelievable opportunity for you to get a free golf lesson. Not only are we offering these online lessons, but we're also giving away books, DVDs, shoe tips, a Knuth Golf High Heat 257 Plus Fairway Driver, and a Seymour Putter. So register now at golfsmarter.com/giveaway. And if you have any questions or issues with your game, then send me an email or call our toll-free line at 415-761-1498 and leave your question to be answered by one of our teachers on the Golf Smarter Academy. If you have any comments or suggestions, use @GolfSmarter on Twitter or Instagram, or write to me directly by clicking on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.